I'd like for you to turn your Bibles, please, to Psalm 42. We're working on a series entitled The Versatility of the Psalms. Lord kind of burdened my heart during the summertime to address some things from the Psalms that God has given to His saints to assist you in your Christian life, to encourage you, to uplift you. And there are so many different themes and so many different directions that we could go in this, but right now, we're working our way through six ways in which the Christian deals with discouragement and, yes, even depression. There are times that come in the Christian's life where it seems like that there are just so many attacks at one time, and the Christian can get discouraged. And we have the resource of the Psalms, especially, to lift us up and to get our eyes off of ourselves and get them on our Lord. And we've looked at the first four of these over the past few weeks. I'll just remind you that we looked at, first of all, he asked the question, why? That's the first thing that he did. It's all right to ask why as long as you're not asking out of rebellion. If you're asking out of rebellion, then you've got the wrong attitude. But if you legitimately want to know, Lord, you know, why are you doing this? I want to learn from this, Lord, why? God will share with you the whys. Sometimes it's years down the road. But if you want to know, He'll share that with you. Number two, he affirmed God's love for him. We looked at that in verses 5 and verse 11, verse 8. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness, often translated love in the Old Testament. In the daytime and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. So he affirmed the fact that God loved him. You know, that's important for us to remind ourselves of, that God loves us. He loved us before the foundation of the world, Ephesians chapter 1 tells us. Now get that into your thinking. Before you existed, God loved you. And he provided a way of salvation for you. When you think about that, that God in eternity past loved you, that indicates to us how great His love is. We'll never be able to measure it. Don't try. Don't try to measure God's love. When you measure, you limit. Right? If it's measurable, it's limited. If it's unmeasurable, it's unlimited. What does the Bible say about our sin? He puts it as far as the east. Is that measurable? East from the west? No. He puts it in the deepest part of the sea, we're told in the Psalms, and remembers it no more. So God has done that for His saints. His love has been demonstrated. Number three, we learn that He sings. We saw this in verse 8, yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me. His song. That song that comes, I don't know about you, but there are certain hymns that immediately come to my mind in times of discouragement. Okay? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. That particular hymn immediately comes to my own heart and mind, that we have a friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. This song is not necessarily a jubilant song. It's a song that cries out to the God of my life and says, Lord, I want You to undertake for me. It's a cry more than it is a song of praise or jubilance. It's a cry unto God, Lord, undertake for me. Last time we looked at number four, which is that he preaches to his own soul. I want to read again a statement that I read last time. I didn't get to read the whole thing, but it was from Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was a surgeon for the King and Queen of England. That's how high up he was. But he left all of that behind him and the notoriety to become a preacher of the gospel. And boy, what a tremendous preacher he was. This is what he said. Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of preaching to yourself? Take those thoughts that come to you the moment you wake up in the morning. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? He asked. His soul had been depressing him, crushing him. So he stands up and says, Self, listen for a moment. I will speak to you. You have to grab yourself up by the collar sometime and say, soul, quit feeling sorry for yourself and get on with God. In other words, trust Him. It's so easy to slip into that mindset, oh, I'm going to eat worms today. Everything just is pile on me. You know, it's easy to get that. That you can get yourself all discouraged. But I want to tell you something. God's bigger than any problem you'll ever have or a multitude of problems. God is greater than all that. And you have to preach to your soul and remind your soul of that. God is bigger than you are. Grow up spiritually. And take the promises of the Word of God and know that your God knows everything about you. He knows your problems. He knows your difficulties. And He's got the answers. Amen? But if you don't believe that, then you won't trust Him at those moments. You've got to grab yourself up and preach a message to your soul that focuses the soul off of self and gets it on whom? The Lord. The one who can answer the problem, the one that can undertake. You know, I have never known a problem to be solved with self-pity. Have you? Look back over your life. Has self-pity and discouragement ever helped you solve a problem? Never does. It doesn't help a kid be a better volleyball player or a soccer player. Self-pity, well, I can't score a goal. It's never inspired them to go and score a goal because they don't have the ability. I just can't do it. I was talking to one of our coaches. He said, I've got one again. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, I've got one of those kids that's convinced themselves that they're horrible, terrible, and that they'll never be able to score. Just put me on defense, coach. Put me on defense. I'll never score. Said he's got an Eeyore. That's what he called him. He said, I got an Eeyore on my team. If you know anything about Winnie the Pooh, you know who Eeyore is. He walks around like this and everything's always against me. I guess I'll go home. Listen, it's easy to slip into that mode. But you know what you need to do? You need to preach a message to your soul and stop with the self-pity. It won't help. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understandings, that way of thinking. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Number five. You didn't think I was going to get there, did you? Number five, we got one more after this. He remembers, now the psalmist does this, he remembers past experiences of God undertaking. He remembers past experiences. He recalls past events. He remembers past opportunities of worship in which God undertook for him. Look at verse 4. Go back to verse 4 of this passage of Scripture here in Psalm 42. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. He said, I remembered going to meet with the Lord in corporate worship. You know why it's so important for saints to get together? Because it's opportunities for you and I to remember. To remember what God has done. To remember how the Lord has undertaken. I brought this sheet of paper tonight because I wanted everybody to remember my typed out sheet from August the 6th that I had on my desk. And I had the blanks on there. I started praying, Lord, please undertake. We need coaches in all these different slots. A month later, God's answered the prayer. I wanted to share that with you. You've been praying too. And we still have some needs of sponsored. I know God's going to undertake. Because I have past experiences. And you have past experiences. Amen? And we can look back together as a corporate body of believers. And we can rejoice. God has proven Himself strong over and over and over again. And God will prove Himself strong again in the future. I look forward to the day when the trumpet sounds. Mr. Woods, I'm sorry. Won't be a trombone. Gonna be a trumpet. We've had this thing ongoing for years about trumpets and trombones, you know. Which is higher? You know, anything the Bible calls a sackbut, something's got to be, you know, wrong with it. But the trumpet has an honorable place in the Scripture, does it not? Mr. Woods taught me the trumpet, so I have to give him credit where credit is due. But, you know, they started out a little rough with the trumpet. They took a ram's horn, and that's what they used to start with. But now they have a nice brass instrument, and I'm looking forward to that trump sounding. And immediately, as we hear that trumpet sound, and the saints of glory shoot up out of the graves, and then we're caught up together in the clouds, it's going to be a wonderful time. That's yet future. My Lord's going to do that because He loves me. And all my problems, my worrying about sponsorships, or praying for some student where you can break through with them spiritually. Lord, undertake for all the problems and difficulties and troubles of life will all be past, because we'll be in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, when you get down and discouraged in this world, you need to understand that God has undertaken in the past. Boy, I've read missionary biographies. I've read of great Christians of the past and some of the things that they went through, the loss of children, the going to islands where cannibals lurked. John Peyton of Scotland came on shore, nearly killed, chased off of the island by sword-bearing cannibals. He saw the heads, shrunken heads of previous victims, and yet God rescued him, got him onto a ship, and was able to bring him back to that same island where he could preach the gospel. God undertook for him. It's amazing. You read story after story, past experiences, folks. The psalmist goes back and reminds himself of what God's done. And then they reflect in a corporate meeting. We went together to God's house and we rejoiced together. And then finally, this is found in the first two verses, Psalm 42. I think you can see what number six is going to be. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God. For the living God, when shall I come and appear before God? I want you to see finally that the psalmist, in the midst of his discouragement, thirsted after God. He thirsted after God. You've got to get past that discouragement and say, Lord, I need Your spiritual strength. Isn't that what you do when you get a drink of water? You get hot, tired. I've used this illustration many times. When we were growing up, my mom had an old cup with a long handle on it, and she hung it there right beside the sink. And I can remember we'd go to the refrigerator and we'd pour that cold water bin in there into that metal cup. And you put your hands on it when you were a kid. My hands were small. And I put that on there. Boy, that felt so good. Nice and cold, and you would sip it out of that. My grandmother had an old metal cup, too, that we'd go over to her house and use it from time to time. But it was so good because we were hot and thirsty, and that water just refreshed. Old Isaac and Kenny came in today at break time, and they filled up their big cooler with ice to go out there and drink. That tasted pretty good, didn't it, when you're out there mowing and it's hot and cutting trees and that kind of stuff? It's refreshing. In the midst of his discouragement, he said, I need to be refreshed. So where do you go for refreshment? Christian, where do you go for refreshment? You go to the Lord. Don't go to the world. You won't be refreshed. You'll have the life sucked out of you, because that's what the world does. That's what the devil does. Sucks the life out of you and leaves you with nothing. That's what the world does. That's what the devil does. But if you go to the precious Lord that made heaven and earth and made you, He'll give you exactly what you need, and He will continue to give it to you till you're overflowing. What do you do when you're discouraged? Well, these six things from Psalm 42, I think, will help you. Aren't those Psalms versatile? They're so versatile. Lord willing, we'll continue this. I don't know when it'll end. I've just found personal blessing in this. I've got several other psalms that I want to draw your attention to. And I pray that you'll have your heart encouraged by the Word of God. Use the psalms, folks. They're a great comfort for the soul. They're like drink and food. And they'll lift you up. May God help us to not be discouraged in the work that He's called us to do. Father, we thank You for this time together tonight. We do pray for the students of Santa Rosa Christian School, boys and girls and young people. There are many that need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We pray for their souls tonight. We pray that You prevent the devil from snatching the seed away from them. We pray that the seed would take root in their heart, that there'll be no thorny ground or stony ground, but that there might be the tender ground to receive Your Word, that we'll see these boys and girls come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Help our staff to have a burden to pray each day. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that You'd undertake and that we might see a movement of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of our student body. I pray, Father, for each of these dear people that have come together tonight. Pray that You'd encourage them from this psalm. Oh, what a glorious psalm it is. And I pray that we might understand these six things that we have encouraged our souls with that will lift us from discouragement and help us, Father, to know Thy power and Thy strength and Thy grace during those times. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.